going to put a chair and a thing where I'd like to sit, and if you could arrange yourself so that you can see where I am. I could stand up today, but I'd rather be in a position where people can interact a bit, as we are less in number. It's taken me decades to learn that my approach to Sunday mornings is going to be that however many people are here, they're the people who God wants to be here. You couldn't hear anything that I said.
No,
David said. Yes, that's right. Yeah. Not so far. Hang on, let me just hit this. And then we need to plug it in again. We may get there. If we don't, I've only got about 4 slides anyway. Okay.
Come out and go back in.
Yeah. We've got it. So, Wendy and I have been away this week. We've been... We've been in a situation where I have realized that since I was last there, lecterns have grown to be 4 times the size they used to be. Because by the time you've got all your bits and pieces in front of you, and they have a table beside. I'm sort of feeling fairly covetous at the moment. I think the answer actually is to have a go-pack table to work from, and then I really would feel that I was back in a different sort of environment. But we appreciate the fact that great is the darkness covers the earth, and that there are problems. But I want to start where Jesus started this morning, and right at the start he said something that may have seemed a little bit confrontationally aggressive. He said, repent. And then he said, because. Do you remember what he said after that? Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. So let's just get that front and center in our heads. It's not far away. The word is near us, even in your mouth and in your heart. And if we go around saying trouble, 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 difficulty, 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 need, 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 that's where we live. If we receive the fact that the kingdom of God is near, even if as yet it won't be in its fullness, then we're going to have a blast. Okay? But wanted to ask Wendy to tell you about something, and then we're going to pray. We're also pray for David at the same time. Wend, mic to your mouth.
Okay. Well, while we were away, there was that they were. It was about empowering the church to do more, so they got people to go out.
Wend, can you look towards Tony as well?
I got people to go out.
Wendy used to be a special needs teacher, but she switched off the day she left.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't use microphones very often. I've got such a loud voice most of the time. So they got some people out the front and then said if anybody wanted prayer, they would come and pray. And I asked for prayer, and this guy came and asked, and he said, what would you like me to pray for? I said, 2 things, 2 leftovers from my treatment last year. one of which needs a minor op, and my knees that are causing me a lot of problems at the moment. And he prayed for me, and nothing happened, or didn't appear to happen. And he was sort of saying, "Your knees, better." And I said, "No, no." But anyway, we then broke up for lunch, came back after lunch, and my phone came up with a number withheld message, and I thought, "That's got to be the doctor or the hospital. It's the only number withheld I get. What's that going on?" Anyway, I didn't answer it because we were in the middle. So, and it came up again, and then I was thinking, I don't know, shall I go out? But I thought, no, I'm going to have to go in front of a whole load of people. And we found out that the op I've been waiting for since January, I'm having on Monday afternoon. So, and that will deal with one problem, we hope.
Okay, thanks. It'll be, it's minor in the sense of needing a general anaesthetic and coming home the same day, but is sort of surgery to deal with the fact that the lymph nodes need to be doing a better job. So all those of you who have been praying for Wendy, we really do thank you. Just pray some more. And we would have preferred if the thing had been healed at that particular point, but God works in the way that he works. So let's pray for David, because when David says he's under pressure, it's not like the rest of us who tend to notify people in advance about being under pressure. It's a substantial issue. The big way of releasing the pressure will be for God to send the money and the people for there to be a David number two for the bus, right? And if there is a David number two, because of his responsibilities to run the whole operation, you know, he says £2,000 has come in this week, but that's a tip of an iceberg, and 7/8 of the work has been hidden underneath for that money to come in. So what would happen is that it wouldn't mean that we had 50% more sessions on the road. It would be somewhere between 60 and 70% more sessions on the road, depending on the amount that David trod on the tail of his assistant. So that's really where we are with this. It's all about breakthrough, but the kingdom of God is near. Yeah? We know what kingdom is, don't we? It's the rule and reign of God. So, I'm going to start, and I'm going to invite you to interrupt and push back while I'm talking. If I can take the question or comment at that point, I'll do so. If not, we'll log it and we'll come back to it. I'm going to do it a bit differently to the way I would if there had been more people here. So I'm going to do my best, though, to stay on point. That's really the big issue, because having been sitting through a conference this week and having planned to do this session on the 24th, I think, 23rd, 24th of March, what's happened is that my notes did not stabilise then. They just get longer and longer and longer as you're praying about things. And you know what it is, as you're waiting on God for things. And no doubt it will happen that way round. But just in order to, before we pray, just to tell you about the upcoming meetings. Next Sunday, Dave Day is with us. Dave's been to Zambia and to India since we last saw him. He's also done a few side trips to help one of his friends who's decided it's too cold in the south of France and wants to move to Spain. Nice to have friends like that, isn't it? Decide on where they're going to settle in order to find a good church. And other stuff. So looking forward to that. And then the following week, it's Community Sunday again, Family Sunday, where we have Covenant Meal and Community Meal. and we're going to be breaking bread. Tua's going to be leading us, almost as a swan song before she goes off on one of her long holidays again. Rosie's going to be bringing us the reflection on those. So that's the next couple of Sundays. The reason why I won't take it any further is I can't remember what comes after that. So 2 weeks, that's pretty good going. Any road, let's pray. Father, we want to pray for David. We thank you for his faithfulness. We thank you for the anointing that you put on him. We thank you for his servant heart. And Lord, we pray that those of us who are there to oversee will be able to see over and know what's going on and where we need to come in and support and help. Father, we pray that there will be a great outpouring of faith and encouragement for that ministry. Lord, you know that in our hearts we don't just want to go around being a cheap alternative to the local authority. Lord, we want to be seeing your work done in that environment. And then, Lord, I ask you, we all ask you for Wendy for tomorrow, that after 18 months of this nuisance going on, that you will bring healing through the surgeon's hands. Father, I pray that although they're a bit vague about what they think happens when they do this particular operation, Lord, that it will work, and it will work surprisingly, and will completely resolve the situation. Thank you, Lord, that something's stirring. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the fact that Neil prayed on Thursday and hospital got themselves in gear simultaneously. Lord, we dare to believe there's a connection between those things. And Lord, we're asking you to glorify yourself through this stuff. Amen. Okay, so we're into the word. My task today, my job today, is actually to review what we've been doing in the convergent studies. Now, the convergent studies that we've been doing have not been our greatest success, it is fair to say. That is largely down to me and is partly due to the fact that people have struggled with the videos. I have to be aware of the fact that by the time you see a video under those circumstances, I've probably watched it 10 times on my iMac. And so I've ironed out, I'm fairly familiar with Canadian accents anyway, but I've ironed out those problems. So I apologise for that. What I will say is this, that the easiest way to resolve the situation is for people to do something which might be fairly obvious, and that's if we send you the link to do some prep. It takes all of 20 minutes to watch the video through. The next time we will do it, and I'm sure that it's possible to find 20 minutes somewhere in our hurried lives to be able to review the videos. Now, a couple more comments before I come back to that. The second thing is that the way John Thompson presents, it's fairly easy to say, we know that stuff, okay? Now, when I came to it, I read it, and I found myself saying, wow, I need to know this stuff. Now, I have been preaching about the gifts of the Spirit for 50 years. My problem is this, that my O-level GCE in gifts of the Spirit is like my O-level GCE in music. It's equivalent to a grade 5 theory. There's very little practice associated with it. And somehow we've got to get out of our heads that with stuff that's in here, we know it if we don't do it. Okay. And Jesus said that the person who builds, who hears my word and does not do it, is like what? Person who builds on sand. Person who hears and does is like the person who builds on rock. And we will never, ever make progression in the gifts of the Spirit if all we do is keep them in a church context. Okay? That is not what they're for. You really, 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 and I really, really, really need to read Luke as well as Paul, because Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit in a church context. Luke explains what happens for the rest of the week. Yeah? What happens when you're on the road and all that sort of stuff. And so what I want to do, what I want to get to this morning is this, and it's ever such a simple thesis, is that all that we're saying about the gifts of the Spirit is really important for mums and dads, right? Really, really, really important if you've got teenage kids. It's really important for the gifts of the Spirit are really important for those of us who meet other people who are not hermits. The gifts of the Spirit are important at work. One of the things that comes back to mind, and I think because things come back to mind, you realise it's a rarity rather than a usual thing. In the early days of Dayspring, there were a couple who were with us, Sarah and James Amwar. James was part of core team while he was here and was on a massive trajectory towards being a main board member at Johnson & Johnson's. But he lived in the realm of the Spirit to the extent that on one occasion he forgot his passport. He was good at forgetting things, was James, but he forgot his passport and got to Geneva and back with no passport. Remarkable story. To the extent that the ground staff member who had got him through on the way out was standing coincidentally at the end of the airway when he came back and took him back through passport control. He didn't put it down to being an angel. The rest of us probably put it down to the fact that James was the ultimate schmoozer and a really good-looking guy as well that got him through. But God was involved in that. And he talked about one occasion where he was with a colleague and they were driving somewhere and this guy was just an ordinary person. And James found himself saying to him, you know, he said, you know that I'm a Christian, don't you? He said, well, sometimes we feel that God speaks to us. And I felt that God wanted to tell you that. And he tells it. And so he's got the guy driving with tears streaming down his face as he brings what we would call a word of knowledge, which we have constrained by saying, has anybody got a word? And somebody will say, oh, I've got a picture, I've got this, I've got that. Well, that's great. That's how we learn. But it has to happen outside. So I do not know this stuff yet. I can talk about it till the cows come home. We can get inspired about it, but unless we're equipped to take it out into our everyday life, to the point where when something strange is happening with one of our kids at home, we get an intuition that this is what's going on and we can bring an answer to it, right? Where we find ourselves, for no reason at all, sticking a hand into a young person's pocket in their coat that's hanging up and it bringing an explanation to a situation. Till we find ourselves getting an intuition when an 8-year-old is invited to a sleepover so that we're ready when she phones up and says, can you pick me up? I want to come home. And she really talks about an atmosphere of oppression in the place she's gone to. That's what the gifts of the Spirit are about. It's not about us entertaining ourselves. So, guys, you may be doing this 24/7 already, in which case we apologise for not having long enough report back sessions, but I'm not there. I'm too busy if I'm out for a walk, I was saying in Renewed, walking along, catching up on my podcasts. You know, Sherlock and Co., the rest is entertainment, the rest is politics, news agents, all that spiritual stuff. So I'm not able to listen to God, to stop long enough to talk to people where I need to. So the other thing that's always a complication is when we do something that's a bit new, it can be problematic. And the thing I liked about John Thompson is that he is actually saying some new things, right? One of the things that really struck me is that he said is that spiritual gifts are the only way that the kingdom comes. Now, I found that a real challenge because I thought about, what about love in action? What about taking the bus? What about doing this? What about doing that? Spiritual gifts, right? Or it's not really what it is. You know, look, I have been really struck recently by the love and the empathy and the care of some of the people that I've heard around. I listened to a whole thing on Jamie Oliver on Young Again, and I thought that guy, just in terms of being somebody full of love and compassion, is just so far beyond where I am. And then yesterday on the way home, we were listening to James O'Brien interviewing James Timpson, you know, who runs Timpson's, and talking about the way they do that thing. I tell you what, if you want to hear good stuff about business, don't watch that stupid apprentice program, which I just think is full of demons. I really do. You know, sort of it glorifies the demonic. You listen to James Timpson talking about upside down management, the way it is. It sounds awfully like the Sermon on the Mount. But it's not the Sermon on the Mount. It can't be spiritual gifts if Jesus is not named. And God has not chosen to do his work through the Jamies of this world, the Jamie Olivers and the James Timpson. He's chosen to do it through people with mixed motives and huge incompetences like us. That's where he's invested. Now, having said that, I was really encouraged during this week as I was thinking about the gifts of the Spirit. Marion had suggested in Renewed that we talked about experiences of the Spirit. And the way it went is that this is the story of this thing with the bus emerged. Now, it doesn't profit John to stick a label on it, but that looks awfully like me, to me, like the gift of the working of faith. And the more he says about it, the more about pressing through, the more about embarrassing Pam, whose position I can understand, while he gets out the car and has got the nerve to walk up to this woman and say, do you mind if we put the bus in your garage? You know, sort of, the wonder she didn't call for somebody to take him away. But that's looks to me what faith is like. And then, of course, we're listening, and Pam's talking about the fact that the place where she finds that she gets nudges as to who to speak to, and sometimes is when she's swimming as well. And you think that's John Thompson has got a bit about that, because swimming, exercising, relaxing, being silent can become a spiritual practice for us where we open ourselves up to the Spirit of God. Yeah? Some of us, when swimming, it's not a spiritual practice for us because we're just desperately trying to stay afloat. But, you know, sort of, guys, I came away and I've been feeding off that stuff during the week. That's what testimony does. And then Helen, who was leading the worship that day as well, happened to say, perhaps we've come to the place where it was something like this anyway, we'll actually have a now word from God, an immediate word from God, and we won't have to go back in our history to try and find something where the Spirit was close to us. And guys, that's it. You know, we're sort of getting it sometimes, but what we want to do is to make sure we major on that. We major on what happens in classrooms and in our offices, and I think when you've got your kids during the week, you know, there'll be times when a little one will come in and they'll be just a bit off centre, and God will give you an insight into what it's about, so you can speak the word of faith. They may never know, their parents may never know, but then their parents may say, oh, I really appreciate the way in which they're better when they come out of being with you than they were when you get in. And of course, in classrooms as well, that can happen. You know, the Spirit of God works. And as we were singing, I'll tell you it, I've started, so I'll finish. Father God, I wonder. I was reminded of when Wendy introduced that song and a couple of other songs to Springfield School, and the kids began to sing those songs, and there was a boy in her group, he was small compared to the others, his name was David A, and he was a whirler, and he would whirl and he would whirl and he would whirl, and on one occasion, I think it was him, the one who you put outside the room and decided he didn't like it, and so put a fire extinguisher back through the window. It wasn't him, it was somebody else. But anyway, I remember being in the class when I was trying to earn a bit of money as we were beginning to establish Dayspring. And this kid was singing the song, Father God, I Wonder. And somebody else joined in and sung it. And immediately a pair of scissors came up. And David A was saying, no, you don't sing that, it's my effing song. My FM worship. And you think now, and as we were singing that, I was wondering, where is that guy today? What happens if he finds himself in a context where that comes back to him? Because we know it could happen, because the kingdom of God is not far away. The kingdom is near. So near. The 27th Christian he comes across may be the one who says, Jesus loves you. And he identifies the same Spirit, and the Spirit gets named. Because, you know, there are dodgy spirits around, and we don't want the dodgy spirits, we want the Spirit of Jesus to be one that's evident. So let's go along, and then we will actually look at the text in a moment. I was just thinking, renewed, the other thing I wanted to mention, and I'm surprised, Nigel, this comes back to mind so many times for me. I remember Nigel and I were having a conversation, and I said to him, what was the high point for you in spiritual life? And we talked about the time which would have been the Toronto blessing, when I think you had hair and quite young, I think, at that time, weren't you? Yeah, and it does seem that long ago now, doesn't it? And I, whenever I think about that, I think, oh gosh, I don't want that to be true for any of us, that we look back that far. that we need to be in a new situation. And the trouble is, I'm just like you guys, because we went back last week to an event. The Jack Little, who was the speaker last week at this conference, had come over with John Wimber in 1984, 40 years ago, and they'd done their big Central London conference, and they took a satellite conference to our church, which was then still called North London Community Church, I think, and had a series of meetings with us. And he'd got a lot of hair then. Actually, he's still got a lot of hair. I need to be delivered from envy. But he's still got that hair. He's a 70-year-old surfer dude, you know, from California. And I swear he'd got the same notes. They were as disorganized this time as they were last time. But as you listened to him talking and bringing John Wimber's message that the kingdom is near, it's not far away, something began to grow. But he made the point that, that's interesting, didn't even write this down. But he made the point that things change and that we can't apply this. If we keep looking back, we find ourselves in a real problem. You think of good old Elijah, my favourite Elijah, the neurotic, anxiety-prone, miracle-working, borderline nutcase of a guy that he was. He finds himself in a position where he's prophesied there'd be no rain, and it happens, and God says, go to the brook Kerith. And there he is, he's in an oasis, right? He's beside the brook Kerith. I bet you there was even a deck chair as well as a palm tree there. And every morning, guys in black suits, well, they were ravens, I suppose, came and brought him food. The water was there. And there he was in a position where he knew what the formula was. But then things changed. He had to go from C to Z. He had to go from Kerith to Zarephath. And there it was a totally more risky situation. I don't know. I think he might have been a bit of an introvert, actually, and he would have enjoyed being on his own by the brook. But he had to go and he met a widow who was picking up sticks. And the idea was she was going to have her last fire. She was going to cook her last cake. And in a profoundly edgy situation, profoundly risky situation, where, if you like, there was nothing more, God met their need. And it went on and on and on into expansion. And do you know, he was able to go straight from that woman's house with the never-ending cake, never-ending bread, to Mount Carmel and see the miracles happen as well. So we've got to find what the word is. We've got to find how God's going to do it at the moment. But guys, I'm so glad we sung that song, because it brought out a whole category in Redemption Hymnal for me of songs of aspiration. And you know, if we only get stuck on aspiration and inspiration, we're going to be in trouble. If we don't get beyond I need thee, oh, I need thee, right? We've got to get to equipping. And I suppose that's the challenge that has come to me over the past few days, that we must make sure that we push ourselves to the sticking point with this business of spiritual gifts. If we're going to talk about it again, we have got to line ourselves up to move forward, whatever it costs. You know, the stories we're hearing, the stuff that's going on with you guys in your different situations, we have got to, I don't want to use the word elevate, otherwise you think God put a sauce on it, for those who watch MasterChef. But we've got to give that profile. Right, we've got to give profile to what's happening in schools what's happening in the offices, what's happening with your neighbours, where we've got to talk confidentially and without names, we've got to do that. But that is where we've got to be, because the fact that the kingdom of God has come near us is not so that we can live our life wound up in some warm wrap with its own electric supply, but that we take what God's got out. Anyway, what did I want to do? Your slide says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. And I wanted to tell you a thing about this. You know, when Paul says now, he moves on from talking about something else. What's he moving on from talking about? Theo, 1 Corinthians 11 to 1 Corinthians 12. What's the shift? What's he talking about? In 1 Corinthians 11, in 12 he goes on to gifts in the church. 1 Corinthians 11 is about communion, isn't it? Yeah? Now, if you look at the epistles, there's only once that you get talk about communion, about the Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper, terribly important. How many times do you think we get talked about the gifts of the Spirit? Right? You get it in Romans, okay, about spiritual gifts. You get it in Romans. You get it in 1 Corinthians 12. You get it in 1 Corinthians 14. You get it in Ephesians 4. Peter talks about it as well. This stuff needs emphasizing, and so the guys talk about it a lot. Come backwards and forwards. They talk about it in different ways. Part of the problem, of course, with this is that... we won't worry about that. I've stuck the four bits up, and it does bring a challenge to us. But just let me say about this. First of all, I've made the point about we shouldn't be uninformed, right? The other point I want to make is about words, because we do get hung up on words a lot of the time. You know, somebody might say, there's no gift of leadership in the New Testament, because in the Authorized Version, it talks about different kinds of administrations. It talks about ruling. Well, do you know, there's no word grace in the New Testament. I remember when a guy called Bob Brasher told me that. He was the translator of the Good News Bible. And he had somebody come up to him at an event and said, you haven't got the word grace in the New Testament. And he said, it's not in the New Testament. Said, what do you mean? And they picked their Bible up. And they said, that's not the New Testament. That's a translation of the New Testament. The New Testament has the word charis. And sometimes we think that the Bible was written in our form of English. You know, if the NIV was good enough for King James I, then it's good enough for us. But you come across these words and you have to look at them. And do you know, this one's really fun, because you know where it says concerning spiritual gifts? The one place it doesn't have the word gifts is here. It actually says concerning spirituals. It would be a perfectly adequate translation saying, now concerning spiritual what's-its, right? Concerning spiritual things, or as one translation puts it, concerning spiritual people, I wouldn't have you ignorant. Concerning spirituals. Spirituals here. It's not important, because if you don't put gifts, you've got to put something, otherwise it sounds like nonsense. Concerning spirituals. But there are all sorts of words all over the place that we think we know about, and we don't necessarily do so. If you have a look at this, for instance, I'm not going to talk about this now because it needs to be talked about more depth. If you look in Romans, it talks about prophecy. In at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about prophets. It talks about prophecy in the list in 1 Corinthians 12 earlier. It talks about prophets in Ephesians 4. And Each time it means something rather different. Okay? It's something that needs to be looked at, something that needs to be handled carefully. If you do prophesying, it doesn't make you a prophet. We may all prophesy one by one. Everybody can prophesy. Yeah? Doesn't make you a prophet. There's an office of a prophet, and a prophet has different remit and does different things. But then there's these words for leadership. So in one place, leadership is the word be a president, preside. In another place, only three times is the word used. It's a steersman. Okay? Other two times it occurs in Revelation. In Revelation it says once it translates it as the ship owner. Another occasion it talks about the helmsman. You know, there's lots of stuff in this. And we rely on the Spirit to talk to us about this as we go and live in the real world. Now, finish. Well, I'm not going to finish, I'm going to stop, which is rather different because there's more we can do. But I need to share with you this image. Okay. I was listening on Friday afternoon to one of my nephews preaching, and he stuck up this picture because we were talking about the times when the Spirit comes close. And here's the Holy Spirit as Baloo the bear. Okay? You say, come, Holy Spirit, pull the branch down so I can reach. Yeah? And you know, as he was saying that, I had been preoccupied for the previous 20 minutes by a banana that was on the next seat to me. Okay? A guy called Richard was in the seat after that. And I couldn't remember whether it was his banana or my banana. In the end, I asked him, and it was my banana that was on the seat. And I just feel that if we take away Baloo the bear and his tree, it will give us an understanding of what it means in this situation to say, come Holy Spirit. Guys, thank you for listening to me so long, but I want us to pray. And I want us to look at our situations this week and to say, come Holy Spirit, bring your gifts. Holy Spirit, I cannot reach the bananas on my own. I cannot reach. But come, Holy Spirit, and pull the branch down. As we're praying that, if it makes sense for you, it may just make stupid for you, in which case, find your own image. But let it come down, Holy Spirit. And I pray that in my interactions this week, that I'll be able to grab the fruit, grab hold of the banana. Not so that I can eat it, but so that I can give it to someone else. Father, I pray that on the factory floor, in the office, in the classroom, as we walk along the streets, as we serve people, whether in the community hub or on the bus, or as we're caring for children, as we're sitting with our kids, just come, Holy Spirit, pull down the branches so that we can grab something to give to them. Let it be. Amen. Okay. I know I threw an awful lot of stuff out there. If I will try we're about three sessions behind in terms of the recordings being posted, but you might find it useful to listen to it again. I'll also put the references on WhatsApp. You probably know them anyway.